I'm Dana Lloyd. Welcome to Soul Sister Conversations, the podcast, where you will be inspired and empowered to connect more deeply with your authentic self as we explore topics of personal development, leadership, and spirituality. Your journey to your most authentic self starts right now. Lauren Robbins is a psychic and a medium who helps people with soul-to-soul connections. If you are looking for a mate or wanting to reconnect or deepen your current relationship, Lauren Robbins can help you with a reading. Today, she shares how she realized she has this gift to see the other realm. She also shares what you can do to manifest your mate and what you can do to create more of a soul-to-soul connection with your current partner, including the one simple thing you can do to feel the soul-to-soul connection. Lauren Robbins, welcome to Soul Sister Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to host you. You are a psychic and a medium. You are an award-winning, tested and endorsed psychic medium, afterlife research medium, author, and spiritual teacher. And you are interested in using your gifts to help people in their soul-to-soul connections, which I find very interesting. And I don't think I've had a conversation like that before or on this podcast in particular. You have been featured on a few TV shows, including Married at First Sight, season 14 on Lifetime Network, which is actually a top 10 show in the U.S. But 15 years ago, you dove into this industry full time because you wanted to help people. First of all, can you share your story of how you realized you had this gift of connecting to the spiritual world?
Sure, I'd love to. It started for me when I was 2 years old, and I developed permanent double vision after bronchitis, where I lost the muscle in my left eye. And at the time, I had to wear a patch, which many people did back then, and I'm not even going to say how old I am, but we did that to strengthen the muscle in the eye that, you know, had a problem. And when the patch came off of my right eye, my left eye is the one that actually had the lazy eye, my brain never developed properly in the terms of sight. So I had permanent double vision at a very young age. And it was around that time that I started seeing ghosts, orbs, loved ones on the other side. Of course, I didn't know what all those things were. But it came pretty quickly for me, and I wasn't able to really shut that off. I was seeing them first, and then I felt them. I felt their presence. So seeing as clairvoyance and then feeling as clairsentience. And, you know, I would tell my parents at a very young age that I had people in my bedroom at night, and my mother would just say, "Oh, honey, that's just your imagination. Go back to bed." And so I couldn't talk to anybody about it. And I'm Catholic, and I still believe in God and pray, but it was one of those things you didn't talk about back then. And I think now people are getting a little bit more open about it. But fast forward, you know, into my, I don't want to make it really long, but I basically had to suppress them, you know, my gifts for a long time. And then I had the other experiences coming through the different senses, got married, went to college, got married type of thing. And then it wasn't until I was really in my 40s and going through a lot of traumatic change in my life with a divorce. I had just lost my dad, and I had become a Reiki person, you know, many years before that, in like 2006, that I decided I wanted to pursue my gift of healing people through trauma, loss, divorce, all that. And so I finished and became a Reiki master teacher and opened my practice. And when I started working with people and doing hands-on healing, everything was coming forward. My reading stuff was, my information was coming out, whether it was, you know, okay, this is happening in your life, this is why you're sick, or this is, you know, you have a loved one coming in, do you want this message? Because I didn't want to just throw it at these people. And they're like, yeah, I want the message. So it ended up being that I changed my being a teacher to a Reiki spiritual session for readings. And then people stopped really coming to me for Reiki because they wanted the reading work. So that was 2006. And literally, this is my 15-month anniversary. I opened my business in 2006 in July. So
you're 15. This is the month of your 15 years of being.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. That's a long time.
And it's a tough industry. You know, this is a lot of people don't believe. And I've had to go through that, too, and go through all the challenges of that. And it's really tough, especially when, When I was a kid, I was bullied as a kid to also be in an industry where you're still kind of bullied. So it causes actually some post-traumatic stress syndrome for me sometimes when people don't believe what I do and they judge me. And so it's been always, it's a mix of feelings when I do this work, but I can't stop helping other people.
It was interesting to me. I think when you and I had our pre-chat, you talked about when you were two and you lost the muscle strength in one of your eyes. And I think you said it was your left eye could see the spiritual world and your right eye could see the physical world.
Exactly.
Was it that a literal thing, or that's just what that loss of muscle created for you, that you were able to see the other realm?
It was what the muscle, unless I was already born like that, but just didn't know until that point. But that's true, because I could literally close my right eye and use my left eye and I could see. So I was seeing in just two worlds at the same time. With my right eye, I was seeing the physical world. Like I'd see my right eye is my dominant eye, because it's always been the one that has the strongest eye, where that's not the lazy eye. So I would look at people, but with my left eye, because there's two separate images, I would see people walking behind people. And so, like, loved ones.
Was that continuous?
Yes.
Was that like you were seeing it like a real constantly?
Yes. Yeah, especially my childhood. And that's when we are really the strongest. I mean, I've had it my whole life, but I was able to see so much. And it was just amazing. And I was terrified also.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a child, were you afraid to wake up at night? I mean, I was a kid that was scared what was under my bed. I can't imagine if I could actually see something out of my left eye.
Well, I would see it, and I would see things walking in and out of the house, the backyard, every place we've moved to. My parents, I always saw things in our basements or different parts of the property. You have to remember too, I'm really, any loved ones and spirit are everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're a medium or not. It's because it's the property, it's a land, it's what has been on the property and land for all those years, thousands of years even. And so there's always something floating around.
Well, so do you see it as a physical person, like you can't see through them, or are they opaque, literally like a ghost, which we typically think of?
They're both. The way that I see them, they're either opaque or sometimes it's more. It depends on how much energy that they choose to give to you to see them. And sometimes they're a little bit more solid. But when I was younger, I did see them very, very clearly.
I'm curious, and this might be a silly question, but I'm thinking, if you're seeing people, maybe in a yard you'd recognize someone's not supposed to be there, do you have a difficulty tell those who are the ghosts that are opaque, do you have a difficult time telling them from real people, or there is a distinct difference?
That's a great question. Nobody's ever asked me that before. But I know, because I can feel there's a feeling like that we receive as mediums when we're receiving information that a lot of people don't know about. But I know I can tell if it's a loved one, and I can tell if it's something that's a ghost too, because there's a difference in how they present themselves and how I feel. But I always know by the feeling that it was not, a family member or something like that. And, obviously when I was younger, I couldn't differentiate that till I got older and knew enough. But my clairsentience, the ability to feel spirit, was also at an all-time high when I was young, as well as my clairvoyance. So those were my two biggest gifts that I had as a youngster.
And you said that you were Catholic, and I'm curious, how did you reconcile what was happening? Not that it should have to reconcile it with religion, but I was also brought up Catholic, and I get that you may not be, you may not believed, or if you were told, if you told somebody something like that, how did you reconcile seeing what you're seeing in your Catholicism or your background?
That was really tough for me, because I couldn't reconcile with it. I struggled with it quite a bit. And I remember being in church probably about 8 years old and praying to God. I could hear God. I could hear him answer me when I spoke to him.
Oh, do tell.
Yes.
What did that sound
and
like?
I remember crying and saying, like, I am so bullied. I have these problems with my eyes. My eye was still in the corner until I was 12, until I had corrective surgery. And I was traumatized by the bullying for my eyes. And I'm like, I know I was different. I know I was seeing these things. I said, why do I have this? I don't remember. I was sitting kneeling and I said, why do I have this, God? Why do I have this too? I don't want it. And he said, you won't know right now, my child, but you will see. Like, you will see later on why you have this. And so I would talk to God and pray and say, please help me to get through what I need to get through school. And because it was very hard to read the blackboard, I had to have people tutor me because I couldn't, excuse me, see the lines. And two lines would be like, one would be up, one would be down underneath. It was, you know, repetitive lines the way that I was seeing. Excuse me. And so it was very difficult for me. But as I got older, and it was a bigger thing, as I got older, it became more difficult, of course, and I suppressed more because I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to have a life and not be thinking about things. And really, to answer the story in a long way, in a short way, it really ended up being not until my niece passed away, which was 10 years ago. And I knew she was going to pass. I tried to warn her, and I don't want to get into that.
She wasn't sick?
She got on opioids and from being in a car accident, and then her friends were partying with them, so she started doing them more, and she got addicted. And she came to me, and I said, let's talk, you know, and I worked on healing with her, and I said, I'm really worried for you. Please don't go out the month of June. I said, wait, you know, she had just got out of rehab. Wait 30 days. Please don't go out till July. Please don't go out till July. You'll be in the clear. She said, okay, auntie, okay. Well, and I saw this 111 number around her too. And when she was in rehab, her number was 111. And anyway, it wasn't until her passing, because I knew, and when my mother got the call, I was at her house, and the way my mother screamed, it was, oh my God, it was horrible. And I went to my sister's, and I really had a hard time with this because I knew I was trying to save her, but I couldn't save her. And so I went to the family priest after the services, and I called him at our church and said, I really need to talk to you. It was not the church, I mean, the priest that I had when I was growing up. Of course, it's a different one. And believe it or not, his last name was Divine. I mean, really, what's the chance of that, right? So I said, hey, I'd like to talk to you. I have something I'm struggling with. And this is now 10 years ago. So this is 2012. And I walked in and I said, listen, I am a medium. I knew my niece was going to pass. I'm struggling with this. I said, I've saved a lot of people. I've had people find me that were suicidal on drugs. I've talked to them. I helped them prevent their passing. They still call me or are connected to me to this day. But I need to know, am I doing something wrong? I didn't want this. I didn't ask for it. But yet it keeps coming. And I've told God, please take it away if I'm not supposed to serve people or help people. And I keep getting more of it. And so he said, Lauren, not all mediums work for God. He said, but you do. So it took all the weight off my shoulders. And I put myself out there. You know, it's 2012 now. I had been in business for 5 years. And I said, okay, I'm going to publicly tell people. But with that, there's also a lot of skeptics, and there's also people that think you're crazy, and there's people that you go to parties and stuff, and they don't even want to approach you if they know you are one, because they're like, oh my gosh, she's going to read me. So it's really tough. It's a tough industry to be in. I don't think we get enough credit really for what we do, because we take on so much work and we take on so many emotions and pain from people, but then people just totally disrespect us. So, or they think we're crazy.
Right. And I'm curious, what does the voice of God sound like for you? Is it a thought in your head and you know so clearly that that's God?
I hear him. It's a beautiful, very strong voice, very firm voice.
And does it sound male?
Yes,
or
it's
female?
Male to me, and the way I receive it. But I can't even go into church without crying, because it's so emotional for me to be there in that presence, because I know in my heart, regardless of what anybody else thinks, I know I'm doing his work. And I have this connection to him. He has saved me many times from very difficult things, and I'm still standing. Not drugs or anything, but just losses that I've gone through that were so profound in my life that most people wouldn't be able to deal with.
I'm curious, just when you, I wasn't anticipating asking you this, but I'm curious, when you can hear the voice of God so clearly, and so many people would be in the situation like yourself that would be on their knees begging or praying for help. Excuse me. And they want to hear the voice of God. They want some sort of direction. How do you think people can access that?
That's
for themselves.
That's a tough one. I can teach people how to connect to their loved ones, no problem, on the other side, but I've never taught anybody how to access that. I do believe that if people are clairaudient, which is the ability to hear, I teach a class called Who Are, I'm not Who Are You, sorry, that's my book. I teach a class called Until We Meet Again, and I teach people all the steps to raise their vibrational state with each sense to get to that point where they're talking to their loved ones. And at the end of the class, they're actually hearing, seeing, feeling their loved ones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I created that after my niece was passed. She helped me to finish that class through channeling. And I've never attempted with God to have anybody else try to listen to God. It's a very fine line when it comes to this. And I'm very careful as a teacher to make sure there's a lot of prayer involved in this work. And I've never, ever tried or attempted to have people talk to God, but I feel people could communicate with him more directly through maybe clairsentience or clairaudience to hear him for a response. And it's possible, but you can also bring in God by just simply saying, you know, God, please let me feel your presence. I ask God to surround me with your beautiful white light. Let me feel your presence, especially if you're grieving, you're going through a really tough state. Believe it or not, you can actually feel a different shift and change when you ask.
That's so
and I'll do that with my clients about their loved ones, say the same thing, you know, God protect me. I want to connect to my mother and her first and last name. Let me feel her presence. And then you know what? You start to feel like this warmth around the top of your body, and it does something to you. It makes a shift and change for you.
That's so interesting. I'm curious how your gift has helped you in your spirituality. Would you have thought yourself a spiritual person as a younger person, or has it helped deepen that for you?
I've always known I was different and very spiritual before I even understood what spiritual was at a very young age. When I walked in church, leaving church, I'd look up and I'd feel this beautiful white light literally surrounding me. I knew I was different. I knew I had a purpose. I didn't know what the purpose was. And I am, like people say, well, are you Catholic? You know, if you're spiritual, and I said, I'm both. I'm all of it. I'm open to receive as long as it's positive things. And I know that there's much more out there that nobody can even explain. And one of the reasons I was a research medium for science for a good, well, close to 9 years. And I'm still in touch with them, but I did a lot of work for them that they recorded about all the afterlife that's going to be coming out eventually. And it's so important for people to know that it's out there. You know, like that's one of the things as a medium, I don't just read. I also take pictures. I also have done the afterlife research part where research will come out about mediumship being real. So, yeah, it's changed my life. I'm much more spiritual, I believe, but I have found very carefully that I can only talk to people who understand about it, not everybody, because that's a very tough topic to talk about. People are only completely always in or they're out. So I've learned not to speak about it unless somebody approaches me about it, because it's a tough topic, you know. But it's,
I would think people find it very interesting, but I didn't realize. I suppose people would be scared, like, please don't tell me anything. I don't want to know. That's probably their fear.
I will literally go to parties, and this was a great example, and I won't say who. I was at a party, well, actually a wedding the other night, and, like, I'll walk up to certain people and say hello, but then they, like, walk right away, and I'm like, oh, they're thinking I'm going to read them right now or start to talk to them, and I won't do that. People don't understand. I won't do that. That's not my place. To be at a party, a wedding, or a funeral, to go up there and start reading them, that's not my place. But I think people are afraid that I will. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I know now that you've shifted to, you want to help people with their soul-to-soul connections, and in particular, couples and relationships. And I'm curious, how did you come to that? I know you appeared on the TV show Married at First Sight, and you did some work on there. Is that when you realized that there was a great need in this particular area?
Absolutely. That was a life-changing situation for me, because I was very grateful for that opportunity. They found me, the producer found me, asked me to be like in Vermont to tape with, you know, film within 36 hours. And I got up there and I said, this is a need, and I'm going to see how this goes. And originally it was supposed to be just a psychic couple reading, and then it totally shifted. But when I started working with them, I realized, oh boy, there's really a need out there. So I started offering a couple service, because it's not just physical stuff. It's soul to soul, and spiritual communication and spiritual connections that keep people together. It's not just, oh, they're nice looking, oh, they have a nice body. There's so much more that's needed in the relationship. And I will, if I'm doing a reading, I'll look at that person and say, you need to change this, you know, so this person can work with you. And this, you need to change. And I'm reading them, telling them what to do. It's not just a therapy session or something like that. I'm telling them what to do to make their relationship better. Or I'm going to,
very specific.
Yes, because I'm going into their soul. Like Michael's reading that they showed on that show, I read them for 2 hours, and I read both of them, and medium wise too. I didn't plan on it, but there was so much trauma they both needed to hear, so they could I could break down their wall a little bit to help them to get to a better level with each other.
I'm curious, is there such a thing as a soulmate? People often use that word, or is that just something that a term we throw around?
It is real. I have one.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes, I have one. And for the second marriage, I'd say my first husband, of course, I loved him. I married him. But my second one, I knew the moment that I met him, he was the person. Before we even met, we met online and we talked for a week. And then we met in person. And I said, that's it. I know he's not ready yet. I know he's not ready for a long time. But I said, I'm waiting for him, because I knew immediately. And we are like best friends. We do everything together. We have a great soul-to-soul connection, and he's a firefighter, and he gets my work, I get his work, but it's more like we know how to speak to each other spiritually through our soul, and it's amazing, and I believe that it's true, because it's also has a lot to do with connections to past lives, and not everybody has a past life, but sometimes these people will resurface in your life, and you meet them maybe a later time in your stage of your life, to see if that's going to work again or not. And I know he was in my past life, one of my past lives.
Okay. So is this often happens that they were in a past life and that you just meet them in this one, or were they always your soulmate in different lives?
No, they're not always your soulmate. You can have many soulmates. It's not just one, and they can resurface. And sometimes you could be married and then meet a soulmate and you have this connection and you're like, well, I'm married, I'm not going to do anything with it. Or some people completely leave their marriages because they're like, this is the person I've been waiting for. It feels, that connection feels real. It feels, you know that person. You feel like you've known them forever, because you literally have. And it's a joke, but it's true, you know, for hundreds of years. And I was told that I had a male that was waiting for me that ran through a fire and tried to save me in one of my past lives. And then I meet him. He's a firefighter. And I have this immediate connection to him. I said, oh, my God. He's that person.
Well, that's so interesting. So we don't just have, even though we have a soulmate, there could be many soulmates from our different past lives that show up in this life.
Yes, it's people we could have been married to, had a relationship with. It just feels very natural. It feels like there's no question. You can, you know, of course you're going to have problems in marriages, but it's very natural. It's not a forced relationship. Usually people know right away when they have that kind of connection.
Let's talk about the idea of finding a mate, because often people have difficulty doing that for whatever reason. Can we manifest the person we want, or if someone's having difficulty in this area, how do they best go about doing that? I mean, obviously, if they do a reading with you, you'll probably actually see some traumas or circumstances that they've gone through that they need to overcome. Is that right?
Yeah, so I'll kind of work with that first. I'll look and see if there's anything that needs cleaning up, so to speak. You know, you need to work on this person. You need to let your wall down a little bit. You need to do a little manifestation. I know you've been traumatized in this past relationship. Wait another year or two before you start dating, kind of thing. So I kind of give them what they need to know so they can prepare themselves for a relationship. And maybe it's not right away. I've actually had people mad at me because they said, well, I wanted you to tell me that I was going to meet somebody next month. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, and then you don't think of trying and come back to me being complaining. I'm sorry it's 3 years, but that's what it is. And so, excuse me. So it ends up being that, you know, there are different ways that you can meet these people. And I do believe in manifestation, absolutely, because I manifested my husband.
So how do people go about manifesting a mate? What would be your advice on that? Especially, you may see what's going on with someone and say it's better to wait a year. But what if people are out there and they're poking around and they're trying to figure it out and they don't realize they should be waiting a year? So how do they get in touch with that or manifest? Like, how does that whole thing go?
Well, I think honestly, all people, not I don't want to even say I think. I know everybody has their own intuition and they're going to know when they're ready or not. And some people jump the gun because they're codependent and they're out there trying to do whatever they want to do. They just want to like meet a bunch of people and kind of get over a relationship. That's kind of normal. But most people are going to know if they're really ready. They can feel it in their gut. Am I ready to really go out there? So that'd be the first thing is saying, am I ready to go out there, you know, ask themselves to start dating. And if you ask that question, you're going to feel either nauseous or you're going to feel comfortable. And if you feel comfortable, then that's a yes answer if you can't hear. And if you feel nauseous, that's a no answer. And ask again in a few weeks, you know, and see how you feel. The second thing is you can manifest, which I believe is very important because it's basically, people think it's witchy-woo, but it's not. It's, you know, it's really like praying and saying like, this is the type of person that I want and looks like I said, a great, but you want to have all the other characteristics that you're looking for in the person. And so I tell people it's really important to write a list of everything you wanted. And in this case, when I met my husband, I had done it 2 weeks before then and I wrote down, I want to, well, of course, nice looking is helpful. he's very handsome to me. And I said, kind, loyal, funny, a family man, has been divorced and has children, because then he'd understand that I, you know, as a divorced mom, that I had children, that want to get married, would be my best friend. We'd go dancing, we'd travel together, we'd do all the things that we want to. He'd be supportive of my work. So all the important things that you need for yourself, he'd be compassionate, loving, loyal, honest, all of those things, emotionally, financially, and spiritually stable. So a lot of people forget those things. They just want this guy that looks cute and it's hot and has a motorcycle. Well, that's nice, but bottom line is he could be a jerk and he could be, you know, having a lot of issues. So I put down, you first put down the list of what you want. You really need to think about every detail. You shouldn't put in what he looks like, though. Because if you put that in, then you might not find that person for a long time. Because you never know who you're going to actually attract. But you don't put the specifics of looks. Just be like, I'm attracted to them. And then once you write that list down, then you write it down like you already have it. So I have this great guy, and he's loving, and he's kind. And this is how it feels to be with this person. And once you have that list down, like it's already in the present, I always tell people one other step is light a white candle. When you go to church, they light candles before they say a mass. They do a mass. And it's because it means spirit on. You know, we want to connect to the spiritual world while we're in church. There is a connection process in church. It's not just reading and singing. It's raising a vibrational state for God to connect to us, feel connected to Him, pray, ask for help. The same process is with manifestation. It's very similar to that. And it's just saying, you know, putting a white candle on, lighting it, saying the saying like, I have this great, great man. He's loving. He's kind. He's available. He's divorced. Make sure they're divorced. I actually made my husband look for, show me his divorce papers. And he was going through a divorce before I went on a second date. Okay, so I'm attracted to him. He's financially stable. He's emotionally stable. He's kind. He's loving. He's my best friend. He's respectful. He has children from previous marriage. He understands what it's like to be a parent. He's going to be a great stepfather to my child, and all these things. And then you say it, and then you blow the candle out. And I would do this every day for like a week or 2 weeks. But the biggest thing is feeling it, feeling. How is it going to be person when that comes into your life, when you go out on that date, when you hold each other's hand? And holding hands, too, is very, very important. You have to have connections physically. That's a big thing with the soul-to-soul communication. And it's not just manifestation. There's a lot of physical contact that needs to be made. And they didn't do that in Marriott at First Sight with my couple. I told them to do that.
So, because that is your focus, soul to soul connection. So, when you talk about this, so if someone's single, so we'll talk about this first. If someone's single and they want to make that soul to connection, so you just gave us some great ideas about how to manifest a person that you want. I love that. Get the feeling. And you know, a lot of people talk about, I need to heal. I need to heal from my past. They have a lot of things that happened in past relationships, or maybe they're repeating patterns. So, do people need to heal from their past? And what does that mean in order to make a good soul-to-soul connection? Or could you just make one anyway? Like, because all our other baggage is often our personal stuff, not so much our soul stuff. Would that be right?
That's true, I feel. I mean, we all, a lot of times people have past baggage from, previous marriages and kids and all of that. But I do believe that you can have that instant spark with somebody and have that soul-to-soul communication. But if there's trauma from the past, which most people have in some sort of manner, that needs to be addressed as well. And that has to be addressed to your partner in time, and you can trust them. I'm going to tell a soul-to-soul communication, you know right away you can trust that person. That's part of it. You have that feeling like, I can say anything to this person. And if you have a guard up with doing that, that's not really a soul-to-soul communication or a connection to you. If you have any guards up with that person, because when you have that connection, you trust that person explicitly. You trust them immediately. And that is when you know you've got that person and you can say things. You don't want to divulge every little thing in the beginning, but you need to know that they can listen to you, they understand you, they get you. And then you can talk about, when you get more comfortable with that person about past traumas, things that you've gone through, so they can understand you more. Because most soul-to-soul communication processes and relationships, they do bond to kind of heal each other as well.
Yeah, because our relationships, I see them as spiritual partnerships. I didn't always, I do now.
Oh, that's nice.
You see them as that?
I do. I feel like it definitely is. It's much deeper than, just the marriage and just the children. It's something that's it's constant, and it's something that it shouldn't be hard to work on. I mean, we have things in life, but like I said, that we went to a wedding the other day, and one of the couples that have been married for a long time said to my husband, goes, "You two are so cute together. You're always holding hands. We don't walk anywhere without holding hands." And we constantly, that's a thing for us, because we always need to feel each other. We always need to be connected. Even if we're apart, we always make sure we're connected in some way.
So how can then let's talk about current couples, people who are in relationships. Relationships can be tough, right? Especially over time, they take intention and focus. So how do people who've been in a relationship, whether it's 1 or 2 year or 25 years, keep that soul to soul connection? And what does that mean to you, first off, soul to soul connection?
That means to me that you're always spiritually staying together, because our spirit and soul is connected. So our spirit is what we've always been and always have been, and our soul remember and our soul remembers every lifetime. And so keeping that soul to soul communication means you're staying spiritually connected to that person. You don't have to be the spiritual guru to do it. It's just a simple way of being connected with it. It comes to words, it comes to thoughts, and it comes to connections with being physically, spiritually, mentally available for your partner, knowing when they had a bad day. And I don't want to be like basic, but taking that person's hand and just grabbing them for a second and saying, "How was your day? Like, what's going on? And are you doing all right?" And giving them a kiss, or just if you can't be connected to that person, taking their hand and sitting down and be like, "I care about you. I want to have a better relationship with you. Let's what would make you happy? You want to do something? Let's do what you want to do today, and we'll do what I want to do tomorrow." And kind of work with something with fitting in that person's passions, becoming it part of your passion too, to make them happy. It's not, those things build a spiritual connection with each other. It's not just going on a date, oh, let's go out to drink. It's more, You need to hold each other's hand and get to that place with each other and understand that person deeper. And a lot of people, as they get older and been more and more married, they get more and more disconnected. We see couples all the time that I've known for a while, and my husband's known for years. They're not even in the same room together half the time, or if they're at a party, like totally separated. And I'm like, wow, how does that marriage work? It's so hard to explain, but I'm just trying to say it in an easier way. The biggest thing is just really staying connected, holding each other's hand. And if you can't do that, if you can't have any emotion or feeling or love for your partner, it shouldn't be a marriage anymore. And I always tell people and joke and say, you know, I help a lot of people get married and I help a lot of people get divorced. It's true. You need to physically be in that present, and you can feel that person physically, but also you need to feel that person emotionally. What does it feel like with you when you go up to, are you married?
Me? Yeah.
Okay. So when you go up to your partner, you should be able to read them and feel them just by your energy. Like,
oh, for sure.
Okay. This is,
I'm on that.
Okay. Right. So we should know by now, it's not just what they're physically doing or what they might be feeling.
Yeah.
We read them. We read them all the time. This is something human nature. We do every day. We are so intuitive. So if somebody comes up to us, they could look like the nicest person in the world, but something energetically says to us, I'm not going there. Well, with your partner, this is where you need to turn on your clairsentience and feel them out. Do I talk to them right now about this situation? If it's very delicate? Okay, now they feel like they're a little bit more relaxed. Using your clairsentience, let's talk about our relationship. Let's get more spiritually connected. Maybe it's okay now that I take that person's hand and say, I love you. You know, I love you. I've always loved you. It doesn't always mean like let's go somewhere, but that hand holding is very important. Feeling them out when the right time to speak to them is really important to build that relationship. Trying to do some things that make them happy to have a better bond and relationship. And those things are all key to having a soul-to-soul communication with each other, is really feeling them physically and spiritually.
Well, that seems easy enough and feels like what people should be doing, but yet relationships are very difficult. But those are all great suggestions for people to get reconnected with each other in very small ways. What has been your greatest ahas around couples and soul-to-soul connections? What has become clear to you?
Again, I think a lot of it is past traumas and also relationship issues too that they've had along the way, whether somebody had cheated or whether somebody has looked at somebody else where it causes hard feelings between them. So a lot of it is trauma from their own past and also trauma in the relationship. And that's where, again, like I said, like you have to take that time to, try to have this better connection with that person. Decide, am I going to stay or not stay with this person? And so it's a lot. I have to read that person and say, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to fix. This is how you need to work on your trauma, whether you're going to a counselor or I work with you a little bit more. Maybe you're too nervous. I got to work on you with Reiki, or you need acupuncture or something like this to get back to a better place with yourself, to make that relationship work with the person. It's not just your partner. It's also some other work you need to do within yourself to make that work. So it's working with yourself constantly to make yourself a better person, get what you need to be in a better place spiritually, and then address it also with your partner and being completely honest and say, I'm dealing with this trauma. I'm trying to, do better. I'm trying to work with you, and just be verbal. And a lot of people are nonverbal.
Right. Yes. Because all of this sounds easy, right? It sounds easier, but yet people have such difficulty in relationship. And I think what you're speaking to as well is that people have to get connected to themselves first, know themselves in order for them to be connected to other people. Because I feel like if they're disconnected with other people, they're often disconnected with themselves.
That's the first place, though. You have to start with yourself. And I tell people, don't jump in after you just went through a divorce and start dating people. Get to a place where you really want to be with yourself. Like you're healing, you're going out with your friends, you're doing what you want to do to get to that place that you feel strong. And then you know exactly what you want in a partner, and don't settle for anything less in a partner. And there's a lot of healing that has to be done after breakups. And I know it sounds easier, but it really is. How do you feel? You'll know that instant connection when you meet somebody. How do you feel when you're with your partner and you know that they're disconnecting from you and you're not having conversations anymore? How do you get back? It's a lot of it's touch, and a lot of time it's timing through clairsentience to have that conversation. If you're really that miserable, be honest with that person and say, I'm miserable, and then try to work on it with some counseling or therapy. I'm just brutally honest when I have a session with people because I go, all right, this is what's wrong with you. And sometimes,
well, I can see that.
You know, I don't want to do that, but I'm like, I'm just very blunt, and some people like it and some people are horrified by me, but that's okay. And I'll say, this is what you need to do. And, you know, I understand you got in a really bad place when you're 5 years old and maybe you went through abuse and, you know, that's why you can't touch your partner. And I understand, and let's figure this out. Like, what do you, you know, I'll go to the nitty gritty first. And then I'm like, let's work together to make this happen.
How that would be very useful where you can see things from their past that would actually cut to the chase and go, this is what the issue is. So I can see how that'd be very valuable. And you do counseling, I assume, with not counseling, but readings, whether individually or as couples.
Right, I do. And I'm based in Massachusetts. I have an office space, but I have been remote pretty much for close to 15 years now because I have a lot of clients out of state, out of the country. I have people in different time zones. And so it doesn't matter if they're in my office or remotely, these people need help. And there's a lot of people struggling. The times are tough with the economy, you know, COVID's still happening. A lot of people I've noticed are trying to get divorced because guess what? They've been stuck with these people that they haven't been around for, you know, in the house for longer periods of time. And they're going, really, I don't know if I really like this person anymore. But it's too bad because, you know, there's some things that can be done and there's things that I could help them with. And sometimes they just want that answer. Should I bother?
You know? What is the best way for people to connect with you? Through your website?
Yes, it's under mediumlaurenrobbins.com. And it goes to my old website because I've been in the business for a long time. But it's mediumlaurenrobbins.com online.
You said earlier in the conversation when you were talking about hearing the voice of God and you asked why. Why am I seeing this? Why is this happening to me? Or I guess maybe the bullying and all of, you know, how come you're suffering at that age? And you said, you heard God said, you will see. Do you now see?
Oh, yes, I do. I do.
In more ways than one.
I do see more than ways than one. And I see double all the time. And I always tell people, if I have a drink, I see one. That's not a bad thing. Most people see double when they drink, but I have it the other way around.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. I've enjoyed hearing your personal story. I always find that very fascinating and how you help people. So thank you so much, Lauren, for joining me in conversation today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me. And just remember, everybody, remember to feel them out with your clairsentience and know if that's the right time to talk to your partner or if you're meeting your soulmate level, you're going to feel that connection right away, almost instantaneously. And also remember to hold hands.
That seems to be a big one with you. Hold hands. That's a good one.
It always keeps you spiritually connected. It really, really does. It's an exchange that's constant when you're holding each other's hands, and it's very important.
I love that. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you so much.
That was such a great conversation. If you loved it too, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Please go to iTunes to rate and review this podcast. And if you want to continue the conversation, connect with Soul Sister Conversations on the Facebook and Instagram pages. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Dana Lloyd Leadership, on Twitter at Coach Dana_Lloyd, and of course on LinkedIn. See you next week.